Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there is enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so excited because I have Alexis with me. She's not just a CPA, but she has a business called Pink Moon Financial, and we're going to get into that. But I'm so excited that she's here today because, one, she's my CPA, but she is phenomenal at what she does, and her journey is just so interesting how she ended up here today. But welcome, Alexis. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So I would love for people to know, because the term CPA, people have heard it before, but what does that exactly entail? And then we're going to get into your journey because I find it fascinating. But please tell us, what is a CPA?
So a CPA is a certified public accountant. A lot of people think that CPAs only do taxes, but we don't actually only do taxes. In fact, I do taxes for sure, but I do monthly CFO services. So I'm essentially CFO of all of my clients, right? So I focus a lot on the CFO services side. And while, yes, I do taxes, it's not the bulk of what I do. I also educate a lot. So I have a suite of courses inside of Boss Lady Academy, which is like the academy, of course, is under Pink Moon Financial. So I educate a lot as well. There are CPAs that only do taxes, and there are CPAs that only do like tax audits or things like that. What most CPAs don't do that I think confuses some people is retirement stuff and financial planning like that. Some do. So it's very like nuanced, you know, some do. But for like retirement stuff, you'd want to definitely find a certified financial planner. They can set you up on the right retirement plan and tell you all the ins and outs. I can tell you how they're taxed. So I can tell you that. But as far as like retirement planning, that's where it kind of like, and also like debt consolidation and that kind of thing, you'd want a financial planner. But for taxes and bookkeeping, definitely want a CPA for that.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that too, because I do think there's a misconception about what it exactly entails and being able to know exactly what you're getting too, especially when it comes to financials, because that is very important. So Alexis, your journey of being an entrepreneur, you have not just done the financial aspect of entrepreneurship, but there are so many other layers to you and things you have done. But I would love for people to know a little bit more about your journey and how you ended up here today.
Yeah, so I basically graduated college with my bachelor's in accounting and then master's in accounting. And then I went straight to work as an accountant. And I worked in the industry for about 10 years. And switched jobs a couple of times, but I always worked with small companies. I worked with three different companies in my 10 years in corporate. And in that time, I was always trying to like, you know, have time freedom. Like I wanted time freedom. When my son was born, I had to send him to daycare at 8 weeks old. So that like broke my heart. And it was really, really hard because I couldn't afford 3 months of maternity leave. I could only afford two. I was really young. I was only 23. So anyways, I ended up, while I was there, I was trying to get out and I wrote a novel, a whole entire fiction novel. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good, but it definitely needs work. But anyways, maybe one day I'll publish it if somebody else like rewrites it. At one point I was like, I'm gonna be a fiction author. And then I had an Etsy store. I did direct sales a little bit, and then this was like the turning point is I got this job, and shortly after I got this really good job that was work from home job, they sold the company. And so I had to basically decide like, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna go basically get demoted because I was basically the CFO there, and you know, a larger company purchased them. So now I would be like accounting manager of like a department, and I'm like, I don't know. I was kind of the boss.
Yeah, I get it. So, I don't like to be told what to do sometimes.
Yeah, so I basically had to decide what I was gonna do, and then it dawned on me, like, why don't I do finances for people? Like, how did I not think like to be an accountant as my entrepreneurial journey? The one thing that like I actually am a real expert at and have been working in the industry for 10 years, you know, I was like, wow, okay, I'm gonna do it. So then that's how I became an entrepreneur. And it was great because then with my daughter, she didn't go to daycare until 1 year. So I got to be at home my whole pregnancy, and then I got to have her at home. So it was very much like a moment of like I did it, like, oh my gosh, like now I have time freedom. So it was really, really good. You know, it was kind of difficult to go through when someone tells you we're selling the company, you're kind of like, oh, okay, so I'm getting laid off. Okay.
But I think it too, it just goes back to what you were saying of like the time freedom. But I know you do a lot with manifestation and law of attraction as well. Like, how has that played a part in your journey, like after you've started your own business, like your own financial business till now? Because I'm sure people would be curious about that too.
Yeah, I love working with the law of attraction and all of that kind of stuff. I definitely set powerful intentions. So I don't necessarily do it like, you know, it's good to do it like in a new moon or something like that. But I don't necessarily always do it at the new moon. I just kind of do it when I feel called. But I will say that, you know, sitting down and kind of journaling out your, you know, your intentions and your manifestations, like what you really want, like sitting down with yourself and just thinking like, what do you actually want? And then of course I weave in numbers with it. So I sit here and I forecast things out. And I'm like, what's it going to take for me to have like, you know, the things that I want on my terms and all that. So it's all kind of mixed together. But yeah, I would say like intention setting and just getting clear on like what it is I wanted. Like, for example, you know, when I sent my son to daycare at 2 months old, I was like, this is like, I'm unavailable for this. This is not the vibe. And then I worked really hard and I was able to not be forced to do something like that with my daughter. So.
And I think that like just kind of shows too, when we put the intentions out there and they're powerful, how much we can shift. And I'm curious, the reason I asked that question was because Pink Moon Financial, what's the reason, the meaning behind that name too?
Yeah. So initially when I first started my business, I believe it was in 2017 when I first started it, it was Advance Accounting LLC with like the tagline of like, we help you advance, because I literally couldn't think of anything. It was so hard. I went through every name in the book and it was just so hard. So whatever, I was like, what's in a name? You know, I'm like, I just need to do the thing. We can deal with the name later. So whatever, I had that name for a long time. And it wasn't until, I think it was last year. Yeah, it was last summer. So in, I don't even know what year we're in. So in 2021, I changed my business name to Pink Moon Financial. And it was actually in April, it was at the Pink Moon. So the Pink Moon is the moon that occurs in April, which is kind of like, it was just like perfect timing. I definitely wanted to incorporate more like astrology vibes into my branding and all of that. And so I was going through a lot of different kind of like metaphysical business names and things like that. And then it was around the actual pink moon. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so perfect. Like, and I have all the astrological signs around my logo. So, you know, if you're into astrology, then you recognize that and you know that like I'm the CPA for you, because I'm a very big believer that you can get a CPA that vibes with you. So there's so many CPAs out there and there's no reason why everyone can't have one that they love and who feels like they are like they understand them. Did I say that backwards? I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why you're my CPA, like, because you understand me and vice versa. But I think too, it's being able to realize that it's a partnership, like being able mm-hmm. to communicate, especially when it comes to financial, because a lot of people have roadblocks or like obstacles around that, which is leading to my next question about like money mindset, because I know you talk a lot about it and you have in the past, but can you speak a little bit more to that when it comes to like our money mindset around like just our financials and everything?
Yeah, for sure. Money mindset is so important. And it's a journey, really. It's not like one day you're just going to like remove the blocks, you know. I don't even like to say there's blocks. It's just there could be some resistance and you have to just continuously like revisit, like, why do I feel like I can't have X number of dollars? You know, you think and you lower like, okay, $5, you feel like that's really easy to get. You can get $5 today. Like, let's all say we're going to get $5 today. And if you really believe it, like you literally will. Once you make the shift into just realizing that, like, it's all just believing it. But that's the hard part, is believing it. So you have to kind of, you know, lower the expectation of what you feel is realistic for you to receive. And then once you get there, you kind of increase incrementally, like how much money you think that you can get behind. It's like, how much can you get behind? How much can you believe you can get? And what I like about really looking at the numbers and kind of intertwining it, like I'm very like yin and yang. So the yin is very much like, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to believe that you can receive whatever amount it is that you need or that you desire, right? And the other part of it is the yang, where you kind of look at the numbers and you crunch the numbers and you say, well, like, how much do I need to live like my basic life? Like this, when you kind of spend the money and you look at things, it's a lot easier to get behind that number and be like, it's not like I'm wasting money and all of this, you know. It's like, no, this is what it costs for me to live my life. And ultimately, it's just, you have to keep continuously reminding yourself, like, I love affirmations. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites that I recently have integrated is, me having a lot of money is best for everyone. Because I find a lot of times, especially with women, it's like we have to feel, there's a lot of like guilt, like, who are you to have like this much money, you know, when other people don't, you know. But at the end of the day, you have to just continuously remind yourself that, like, no, me having a lot of money is good for everyone. Like, you know, when I have a lot of money, I can give my kids a great childhood, you know, and I can help a lot of people. And so it's just shifting that. I just feel like there's so many paradigms and so many just like the way that society is, it's very easy to have. I think we all have like so many like money issues, like money is bad and you're evil if you have a lot of money and rich people suck and all of this. So it's just kind of like working through all of that and just continuously changing your mind and just reminding yourself over and over and over that, like, you know, you having money is good for everyone. It's super important and it's amazing for you to have money, and you're going to do amazing things with it and you're going to help so many people. It's just like a resource. Like, we need more well-resourced women. So,
yes. I completely agree with that too, because I think there's the sense of abundance, right? When we have that mindset of abundance, of knowing that it's coming, and especially when money is energy, and that's what I'm hearing you say too. It's a resource. It's being able to provide great services and helping more people, especially in the financial world, because there's not a lot of women in the financial world. I'm sure there's, maybe you can speak more to this about CPAs, because I don't really know, but I know it's difficult to find somebody who's knowledgeable in the financial world, woman-wise, and being able to teach other women about it, because a lot of times growing up, it's not something that's always talked about. We don't learn it in school. We might have one class maybe in like high school or college, but if we're not taking that route of like pursuing a career in that, we're not going to really know that unless we educate ourselves. But that's why I think it's so imperative having somebody of your caliber here talking about it for other women to hear about this, because I do think it's important. So like in your industry in particular, have you seen a lot more women like recently, but or like when you first started, how has that looked in your case scenario?
It's I know a lot of women CPAs, like most of the people I went to college with and stuff like that. But not a lot of them are entrepreneurs, and even the ones that are still kind of what I see and what I had seen in my career is just CPAs that are just completely overworked, and they aren't able to, they just do not have the capacity to explain to someone and educate them on, what their taxes actually mean and stuff. So I still have yet to find, I'm in a couple of like CPA like networking groups, and it just seems like a lot of people are still in the old school account. That's what I call it, the old school accounting kind of ways, where they just do not answer emails, and they're just like, you wouldn't understand type of vibe. Just believe me, just listen to me, just do this, and not explaining like why, So I don't know. I haven't really, I kind of feel like I'm like a trailblazer in the industry, kind of actually educating people, actually teaching people how to do their own accounting and their own bookkeeping, because it does not always make sense to hire someone. And if you do hire someone, are they just doing your books and not explaining them to you? Because really the key is in the analysis. And if you can't make sense of the numbers, then it's completely pointless to even have them organized. I mean, it's not pointless, but it's definitely not, extremely valuable. And which is, that's probably why it's at the bottom of everybody's list, because they're like, well, I only need it organized for taxes. And the reality is, taxes don't even matter. Like, the taxes are like the little small part. It's a technicality, it's a thing you have to do. The real value comes in understanding the numbers and being able to make decisions. You're essentially making decisions about the resources that you have. And how can you do that if you don't know how many resources you have and what it all looks like and things like that? So I don't know. I haven't really found that many that are not, the old school way. So, yeah.
Well, and that's what I think too, I wanted to highlight, because you have so many courses teaching people exactly what to do. It's giving them that resource, giving them that tool so they can learn and grow. Because I mean, I've had other people financially in my world that like didn't explain things to me, that it was just like, okay, I just need this and this document, and then you're good to go, like for tax purposes. But you actually like sit down and like explain things to people detail by detail, unless, or if they have questions. But I feel like you really go through that, and I have never experienced that before. I'm not sure many people have, based off of what you said too,
Yeah.
but I know you have so many different courses, so can you kind of go dive in a little bit on those so people can know a little bit more about them?
Yeah, so I have basically courses for every price point, and it depends if you want to go detailed or high level, or if you're a little bit more into your business, like a few years in versus just starting out. So there's a wide range of them, for at every price point. I just want to make sure that it's always accessible. I have all of the courses have some type of income and expense tracker, so you can keep track of your finances. It's very easy to use. Like, easy is number one for me, because I know I won't do things if they're not easy. Like, if I notice, like, okay, I want to be doing something in my life, like I want to create this new habit, I need to make sure that it's easy for me to implement it, because if it's hard and it feels overwhelming, I'm just not going to do it. And I feel like numbers are already hard and overwhelming for people. People just need a really simple way to just keep track of their numbers. And it doesn't have to be some software. I actually advise against softwares for DIY bookkeeping, because there's a lot of things that you don't need to have. There's a lot of things that you don't need to know. There's a huge learning curve. And really, if you don't know what you're doing, then you can really make a mess. I mean, as much as QuickBooks, I love QuickBooks, but it was made for accountants to keep track of their clients' books. And as much as they try to market to like the DIY, there's just too many things in there. And really, you just end up making a mess. It'd just be easier if you just used a spreadsheet. So I have a lot of tools that are just really easy. I also have the forecasting tools. I have basic versions, which are really easy, quick to set up. And then I have more robust versions that are more involved and just can sustain you longer, a little bit more detailed. And the forecasting is really good. And then I also have a course that kind of intertwines money mindset and more like metaphysical vibes. I have like some meditations in there, some tarot and astrology stuff going on in there. So that's really my favorite because it really does encompass the yin and the yang, which I think is really important to have just both. You know, you have to believe and you have to do all the you know, law of attraction stuff and the affirmations and all that. Like, you have to do that in order to change your mind, unless you're born and just didn't have any money resistance, which I feel like is impossible in our culture that we live in.
True.
I feel like we all have that. So you really have to work hard to, you know, shift into believing that you're worthy of, you know, abundance, basically. But then you also want to be practical and look at the numbers, and you know that actually I feel helps you to believe. So I have kind of something for everyone in the suite of courses, and so I really enjoy having something at every price point because I do think it's important for things to be accessible to people. You know, if you're just starting out, you go with, you know, kind of the more basic ones, and then you can kind of graduate along the way. So
no, I think that's important because when you look at it too, people are coming from all different walks of life of their business, and being able to have different entry points of how they can work with you, or even just having the tools before they even work with you, because then it's already introducing them to like your style as well. But also it's maybe more affordable than working with you one-on-one, but being able to understand that too. So I'm curious, what are like maybe your top two or three tips when it comes to accounting and like making sure numbers add up and all of that stuff? What would you share with us today?
I would say my first tip is to separate your personal finances and your business finances. And you don't necessarily need to have a separate bank account in the beginning. You can use something like PayPal. I think Stripe even has like a free somewhat checking account. And so with PayPal in the beginning, you're always using, or at least it's common to use your personal funds for your business. Like, that's just a very common thing. But if you use something like PayPal, even though you're still using personal funds, at least you can run like a PayPal report. You can see your income, you can see your expenses. So I would say separating things is definitely the number one tip that I have. As the earlier you can do that, the better. And then my second tip would be to just use a spreadsheet. Don't get into like softwares and things like that. You literally just need to know your money coming in and money going out. So use a spreadsheet. I have really low cost spreadsheets that you can implement in like 15 minutes, sustain yourself that way. So I think that's really important. And what's my last tip? Let's see. I would say my last tip is probably find a CPA that you like, that you can, you know, kind of like stalk their social profiles a little, you know, find a place where you can ask questions. Like, I have a Facebook group, you can ask questions in there. Just find a CPA who kind of vibes with you. And even if you don't hire them right away, like, can you ask them questions? Do they have resources for you? That would be kind of my third tip. So
those are great. Definitely informative, because I do think all three of those are important to recognize when it comes to just what's going on or how your numbers can fluctuate, being able to have easy, accessible tools as well. But knowing to the person before you hire them as well, like, are they like giving information, like having resources, I think is huge, because not everyone maybe knows that that's available to them. And that's like the biggest thing.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times people end up with like any accountant, and it ends up being one of these accountants who just aren't really explaining things, and they're not really responsive. And, you know, they're kind of feel like, what am I paying this person for? Like, I don't even feel like I'm getting any value. Like, so many people like can't stand their accountant. So I think finding an accountant, and even in the very, very beginning stages of business, I think maybe doing like a one-time consultation or something is extremely beneficial. Or if they're doing your taxes, maybe you can ask them a lot of questions. I have clients like that who will ask me a ton of questions when I'm doing their taxes. So take advantage of, if you're already hiring someone to do your taxes, ask them a million questions and find out like what business structure should you be and why. That's another like big one to know early on, because a lot of people jump into S Corp, which really is not the best for someone who's like starting out. That's more for somebody who's making like 50,000 profit. So that's revenue minus expenses, and the leftover is like 50,000. That's when I would say becoming an S Corp is more beneficial. But there's so many accountants that are just like old school, and they're just like S Corp, S Corp, S Corp. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But at the end of the day, you just want to have somebody that you can, you know, ask questions to and, you know, kind of feel out their vibe and stuff.
Because I think too, it's having that rapport when we're able to connect with the CPA, especially like financial aspect. Again, it's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And being able to feel comfortable asking those questions, I think is going to make such a difference. I know like night and day of like my previous experience till now, and it's a much better experience. But I think too, it's just being able to be aware of that, because sometimes you might just like, especially if you're starting a business and you've had like a CPA that your family used and like it's like in all in the family or like venturing out. But I think what you alluded to is all those tips of like really looking at it from an outsider's perspective of understanding, okay, these are the things to look for when mm-hmm. you're going to hire someone who's going to be taking care of your financial aspect of business.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, and there's so much shame and guilt around money already that you don't need that coming from like your CPA, this like vibe of like, oh, you wouldn't understand, and like just kind of dismissive, or like, oh, you should be keeping up with this more and all that. It's like, I'm very big on like, no, there is no should. Like if you come to me with like your finances a mess, I'm just like, okay, I'm here to help you clean it up and help you understand how to keep it, you know, clean. And then if it gets all messy again, like I do not care. I'm not going to judge you. I feel like it's natural. This isn't, you know, what you went to school for. Essentially, they don't teach this. So how can I expect you to know everything and to get it right, like right away, you know, and to know everything? It's just like, no, no, no. So I'm very big on like the no shaming, no judging. Like we get enough of that already from society around our money. You don't need it from the person who's like supposed to be helping you with your finances.
God, I feel so empowered now. Yes. It's true though, because I think it's like having that no judgment, like especially like the entrepreneur journey is really difficult. It's a roller coaster, and people are going to have things to say and maybe not be supportive. But like when it comes to our financial aspect of life, it is taking away that shame and having somebody who's in your corner and like guiding you step by step, and not going to be like, oh, you did that again, or like, you know, just like putting somebody down versus lifting them up and be like, okay, that happened. Let's fix it. Let's work together. And that's like what I keep hearing too, and knowing you as well. Like I know that's your character, but I think for other people to see too that CPAs can be super open, super compassionate. It's just finding the right one that vibes with your style. Absolutely. But I think it's being able to be transparent with them, especially when it comes to the financial stuff, because it's not my area of expertise whatsoever. But being able to have somebody who is an expert in that and being able to speak to what you need to do, how you need to do it, but also letting you know step by step what's happening is key.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, Alexis, I could talk to you for hours, but but I do have my rapid fire questions for you if you are ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
Probably my mom.
Yeah, I love it. And why your mom?
I just think that she has overcome a lot, and she's like a very strong woman, and she, you know, helps me through a lot of my stuff. So
I love that. And, you know, I think too, it's just moms are the best, but it's also, it's such a reflection, because that's a very common answer I've heard. And it's because I'm talking to such powerhouse women, and it's they're raised by powerhouse women, and that's what I keep hearing. And it's just I really resonate with that. So I'm glad that's who your hero is. What motivates you to, my question normally is what makes you work hard or motivates you to work hard, but what motivates you to work smarter, to make things easier for yourself?
Just the fact that I know I'm here to impact a lot of people and empower a lot of women to just feel financially confident and financially literate. And in order for me to do that, I have to make things easy for me and streamlined, like creating, you know, streamlined processes for me to do everything that I have to do, is super important, because I need to just continuously reach more people. And that's like my mission, is to essentially create a world full of financially literate boss women. And also another kind of goal of mine is more like long-term. I definitely want to work with like young entrepreneurs. I feel like, you know, young entrepreneurs need this type of knowledge, and it would just increase the success rate of entrepreneurship in general. I think, you know, they say like only 9 out of 10 businesses fail, you know, so you have to essentially create 10 different businesses to make it. So I want to, you know, make it where, no, now I think the main reason is because of cash flow, you know, and resources running out. So if I can educate people onto like not having that happen, you know, you can see into the future of when you're going to run out of resources, you can pivot and all of that. So anyways, it's super important. That's like my driving force, is like my motivation is that I'm here to just basically impact as many people as possible and have as many financially literate people as possible.
I feel the empowerment beyond that statement, like just what is going to happen. But you're right. It's absolutely about educating people, making them financial, like literate, of understanding what is important and what's not and how money flows. But I really do appreciate the fact that you're really driven by the young entrepreneurs, because they don't know, or I mean, unless they've like experienced it. I know I wasn't even that young. I was in my mid-20s when I started, but still, like, I was so unaware of so many things when it came to business, especially like the financial aspect. So
yeah,
I cannot wait to see that unfold and continue to unfold. So if you were a superhero, what would be your powers?
Probably to be invisible, just because like I'm nosy. I'd want to be able to like walk around and see what people are doing and listen to their conversations.
I love it. You would learn a lot. It's like being a fly on the wall, but no one sees
you. Yeah, exactly.
You blend right in. I love that. Well, let me know when you find out. So if you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Okay, Lady Gaga for sure. Taylor Swift for sure. Probably, I feel like I have some people, like I need to choose these two wisely. I have so many people that like I'm inspired by. I would say Joy Manganiello. I don't know how to say her last name. Oh my God. She made like the Miracle Mop or whatever. There's like a movie about her called Joy.
Yeah, Joy. Yes.
Oh, and Sarah Blakely, because I love her.
That would be a powerful meal. Yeah. I'm coming to that too. It would be very musically inclined, but like great conversations. I'd want to pick their brains.
Yeah.
As well. Good inspiration. I love that. So what is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
I don't do a lot of daring things. I like to be safe. probably becoming an entrepreneur.
That's very daring.
Yeah.
People don't realize how daring it can be. Like, why do you feel like it's daring, like, for you when you were transitioning into being an
entrepreneur? Yeah, I basically got pushed into it without being fully ready. I think I wasn't going to do it on my own. Like, I would never have left a job to go be an entrepreneur. Or if I did, I would wait until like my revenue was a certain amount and all of that. But the universe was just like, poof, there you go. And I was like, like my business was not making enough money to sustain us. And it was really scary. But you know, I kept the faith. What can I say? It was scary AF. And I just, it worked out. I don't know. I don't really know how, just other than I just knew. I just kept the faith. I didn't give up. I just kept going, even though like the next month I didn't know how I was going to pay my mortgage. I was like, oh shit. But okay, I'm going to find a way. And sure enough, it always worked out. So that was definitely a scary like time period to kind of be pushed into it. But I'm also grateful for it because it did teach me a lot about like keeping the faith and persevering and all of that kind of stuff. And I don't think I would have done it like on my own. So it was kind of a universe being like, go fly, baby bird.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right, because I don't think people realize, like, I know I didn't realize when I started my journey of like how difficult it can be, or like how it's up and down. But mm-hmm. I think like just alluding to the fact of keeping that faith and knowing like you were forced almost into it, but you didn't allow that to stop you. And like you can play it safe in other areas of life, but being an entrepreneur is a very calculated risk as well that we're taking, and it's daring. It takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of faith and self-belief, and that's exactly what happened for you. Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important for people to know that.
Yeah, I don't think it's talked about enough, like just how scary it is. It's one thing if you have someone, you know, kind of who can pay the bills for you as you know, or you have a job that pays the bills for you. But if you are really like roughing it and you're like, the bills rely on like you making sales, it's hard. And then once you step into the point where it's like, okay, now you can breathe a little bit, then it's like, all right, we got to sustain this now, because this is now your career, you know? And I just want to also kind of talk to like security. Like I thought I had job security. Mm-hmm. So that's the funny thing, is like people think, oh, when you have a job, it's secure. And in some ways it is, because it's a consistent paycheck. But who's to say that that person, like what happened to me, just, you know, how does the saying go? Like take the rug from under you, basically, you know, yeah. And just be like, actually, you're gone. Or, you know, in a lot of places you're replaceable and things like that. So is the job really secure after all?
I mean, you pose a very good question. Comment below, everyone. I'd love to hear everyone else's thoughts too. What is the phone app that you use the most?
Probably Facebook. I just love Facebook. I'm a Facebook person. And Instagram too. I just love the socials. If I'm on my phone, I'm probably on the socials hanging out.
That connection.
Yeah. I use the calculator a lot too.
I mean, that makes sense, actually. I think that would be on the top, like top three at least. It helps with those numbers. Yeah. No pun intended. And so what is the last book that you've read? I know you like to read a lot, but what's the last one you've read?
Okay, so I like to start a lot of books. I don't always finish them. The last book I finished was a fiction book called The Ninth House. It's really good. I loved it. And I'm trying to think. I think the last like nonfiction book, I read more nonfiction, but it's like with nonfiction, I like start it and then I'll be like, ooh, look at that one. And then I'll start that one. So it takes me like 3 years to get through like one of them. But I did get through Tiny Habits really quickly. So, and I did a lot of research between Tiny Habits and Atomic Habits. And ultimately I decided to go with Tiny Habits, and I loved it. I thought it was really good. So that was the last one I finished.
Nice. I haven't heard of Tiny Habits. At first I was like, oh, does she mean Atomic Habits? But I didn't realize Tiny Habits was another book. So good to know. I had that to my list. My list keeps getting longer and longer.
Yeah. And then I just go buy them. So it's not even a list anymore. It's just like books everywhere that I'll want to read soon.
Well, it's good to have, you know?
Yeah.
So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I don't know. Who's like my favorite actress? I don't even know. Oh, I know. Jennifer Lawrence.
You know what's so funny? I was literally just thinking you were gonna say that because I could see it.
I love her, and she actually played Joy.
Yeah, that's why she came.
So I was just like, oh, she's like such a badass. Like, I just love her. I just think she's hilarious too. Like, she's one of my favorites for sure.
You guys are a similar person. Not that I know her personally, but you know, from her acting skills. And the interviews I've seen. So what is your favorite family recipe? Maybe one that you make together as a family or one growing up, either or. Just what's your favorite?
Definitely rice and beans. My grandma would make those and they were like my favorite meal. And now I make them and I make them good. So
how do you definitely make
them? My favorite. Well, you got to add the sofrito. So you got to, like, I use canned beans, but you got to put the onion, garlic and green pepper in there. Mm-hmm. And that adds more flavor. You got to put the bay leaf, oregano, a little bit of cumin. Mm-hmm. So I like spruce up. Yeah. I spruce up the canned beans.
How to clarify for that one. So if you were to describe yourself as an animal, like personality wise, what animal would you be?
Probably a dog. Is that so basic?
No, but why a dog?
I don't know, because dogs are like cute and friendly and I don't know.
Yeah.
Family, you know, domesticated.
I love that. Okay. We'll take it. What's one thing, so like if your day is just going like rough, what's one thing that instantly makes your day better?
Definitely meditating. So I usually will listen to like a guided meditation. And that definitely like takes the edge off of like a rough day.
I believe that. It definitely can help. So if you're having a day off, no clients, no nothing, you don't have to be anywhere, drive anywhere, anyone anywhere, how do you spend your day off?
Definitely going out to lunch at like a cute, like vibey cafe outdoors. Probably spending some time at the beach. And then maybe just doing like some of my hobbies. I'm very much like a homebody. So maybe I would have time to like read more or play on my Switch, which I love, Animal Crossing, binge on TV. I always like watch TV, but also do something else at the same time. So I could be like playing my Switch and watching TV. So maybe I'll color also.
Hobbies are good to have.
Yeah,
they are.
I have so many, and like I used to do so much, like I cross stitch and did a lot of paper crafts and things like that. So I don't really have as much time to do those things, so I get excited when I have like a day to myself because maybe I can play Animal Crossing.
It's those little things, they make a big difference. They definitely do. So my final question for the rapid questions are, what's something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
That's so hard. I guess like they wouldn't really know kind of what we talked about in the beginning of like, it's not just taxes that CPAs do. And I think it's cool actually if you can find a CPA who does more than just taxes, because then you can kind of use them a little bit more, and you don't necessarily have to have like, you know, a bookkeeper. And then like I've seen people be like, oh, I have a bookkeeper, an accountant, and a CPA. And I'm like, accountant is the same thing as a bookkeeper. It's all just managing the numbers, you know? So yeah, that's another one actually. Like people don't realize that accountant is basically the same thing as a bookkeeper. There's really not a big difference in like what the tasks are that we do. Some might argue that like a bookkeeper is more like experience based, you know, maybe take a bookkeeping course and you have experience doing that. Whereas an accountant is like went to school for it and all that kind of stuff, took exams and more of that. But at the end of the day, accountant, bookkeeper, it's the same thing. Accounting, bookkeeping, same thing. I use the words interchangeably. They are the same thing. So actually, I think that one, that was kind of a good one that I led into.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think too, it's like, because there are so many different terminologies about it, but one has gone to school and might have just gotten a credential or like a certificate or things along those lines. So there is a differentiation between like a CPA and like accounting and booking. But the biggest thing is like accounting and booking and bookkeeping are interchangeable, because I don't think like people would know that. Like, I didn't know that until I started like following you and like learning more about what you do, because I had no idea. It all seemed relevant to me. But with that being said, how can people find you? Where can they go? How can they hire you as well? And everything will be linked below.
You can find me. My website is like the best place to go. It's alexischristina.com. And it's KrySTINA. Or follow me on the socials. I'm basically Alexis Christina everywhere. That's where you can find basically everything.
Awesome. Well, Alexis, thank you so much for joining me today and really just lending your knowledge to all the women entrepreneurs listening and everyone else that could benefit from your knowledge as well. It's definitely been an honor and a privilege to have you today. So thank you for joining.
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody on the next video.